We welcome you to the Wayne County Bible Center. It is Sunday, December 6, 2020, and we have some folks with us on a Sunday morning. We are beginning our Christmas series, and the title of today's message is Fear Not. Luke chapter 2 is where we'll begin, verses 8 through 14. And we're going to look at that first message of that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. And on that night when Christ was born into this world, the heavenly messenger said to fear not. And if we ever need that message, it is today in the year 2020. As we begin today, I want to update our church family locally here in Wayne County, Tennessee that are not with us. We want to remember in prayer the family of Bob Terman, who is a great, great, great friend of this ministry and this pastor. I was speaking with Coach Bird yesterday morning early, and I'll update you on Coach Bird in a few moments. And I told Coach Bird that a greater friend no man could ever have. His loyalty, his support, his love. Bob Terman possessed the sweetest, most gentlest, most loving, the humblest, and the most beautiful spirit any man could have. He loved this ministry. He still has notes he took under this preaching from the Armory building and from this building. And he's just the greatest encouragement ever. I was with him in August with his family. We were together for an evening, and it was just a wonderful time. But the time before that, I was at one of our high school games, and seeing last year for Kelly and Lauren and this bunch. And Coach Bird and Sherry were sitting with Patty and I. And we look up, and here comes Terman. And Bob comes up the stands, and he goes, "Just got to tell you guys, I was at the scores table as he worked the clock, and he said, I was looking over some stats, and some guy behind me said, look at those two ugly guys that just came in the gym with those two beautiful women. He said, I knew in a minute, had to be Leo and Bert. Had to be Leo and Bert." And so that's how he greeted us in the gym. And love Bob Terman, a tremendous educator, public servant, baseball coach, city judge. Dave did an excellent job on the radio the other night in his tribute to Bob. Played the piano as beautifully as his heart was. And I'm going to miss him, and he's just tough. So please pray for Sarah Beth, Drew, Cole, this whole family. It looks like the service is going to be about 1 o'clock tomorrow, Waynesboro Church of Christ. I want to share with you a thank you note from Christy Hall. For those of you listening in other states throughout this country and in other countries in the world, these are just dear, dear friends of ours, and they are home with Jesus due to this virus. This is my personal physician who God used to save my life back in 2011, who has gone home to be with Jesus, Dr. Joe Hall. Christy says, first of all, thank all of you for always making the Hall family feel at home at the Bible Center. Joe absolutely loved this church. Thank you for all your prayers during Joe's illness. Also, thank you for feeding the family after the memorial service. A special thank you to the ladies that served us, the Hall family, Christy, Jasmine, and Wyatt. And we praise God for Valerie and for Patrick, and we just want to remember all of those in our prayers. Please remember the loved ones in this county who continue to miss and mourn. Bobby Brown, the People's Bank family, continue to lift them up, and We just praise God for Bobby and all the joy he has brought us. Coach Bird, our state representative for our district here, longtime educator and coach here at Wayne County High School, principal. He is battling COVID pneumonia right now in St. Thomas Midtown. I think it's Midtown. I'm just going to say St. Thomas Hospital in Nashville. Coach is on IVs at the moment, and we want to pray the antibiotics and the steroids are going to work. He's on oxygen. His oxygen level is holding its own at this point. As I say, the last time I spoke with him was yesterday morning. Please remember him and Sherry, JD, the family, in your prayers. Miss Pat Castleman, who is also our doctor, she is in the hospital here with COVID pneumonia, UTI infection. She is also being treated IVs right now, breathing treatments. We need to pray her oxygen level stays up. If it doesn't, she's going to be transferred. She asked me this morning that we would pray that her oxygen levels stay up. So we want to pray for her. We want to remember Liz Quillen and her family also as they lost their dad to COVID. Please continue to pray for Liz and her family. And Greg Eaton, as you know, he's been with us in these funeral services in the last few weeks. Please just remember all these families. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, we lift up Coach Bird and Miss Pat. Father, we're praying hard for them right now. I pray, Lord Jesus, for continued progress, progress, progress. I pray, Father, for the touch of Jesus. I pray your touch on their bodies. I pray that you remove this virus in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give these doctors and nurses the wisdom as they treat them. And we're praying for a miracle, miracle, miracle of healing. We thank you for the miracle for Barbara Staggs. We just continue to plead with you, Lord Jesus. We pray protection for those in our county. We pray protection for Mr. John, as Miss Pat's concerned about her husband. Father, please protect Mr. John. And Lord Jesus, we just pray your miracles now. And we pray your guidance. We pray your healing, great physician, and it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, we are going to dive into the scriptures. Fear not, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says this, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on you now, Lord Jesus, I come to you confessing my sin, the filth that exists in my life, and I pray, Lord Jesus, for forgiveness. So I've confessed these things out loud to you in that office earlier. I pray, Father, to be cleansed by your blood now and anointed by your Spirit to be used of you to wash the feet of the people that have assembled today. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be our guide, that you will lead us. And Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. So in the quietness of this moment, we all ask you this, Lord Jesus. What do I need to hear from you today? Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So the first message 2,000 years ago on that Christmas night was, "Fear not." Now, I want you to understand, Martha, Joe, there are just two areas in the life of a human being where fear exists. There are only two areas where fear exists. Fear exists in the here and now, and fear exists concerning the hereafter. Those are the only two areas in the life of children of God or human beings. We're either fearful about things that are going on in the here and now, or we're fearful about things that may go on in the hereafter. The past does not frighten us because it's behind us. Now, the past can cause us to fear the future, and the past can cause us to fear the present because of things that we have experienced. Just like right now, William, you know, we've not been doing real well when our friends are taken to the hospital. We're not doing real well when our friends are being put on ventilators. So we get fearful when we hear that news based on the past. But in this life, the only two areas of fear concern the here and now and the hereafter. And so I want to share with you, first of all, about the hereafter. And look what he says there, the angel says in verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The announcement is this 2,000 years ago. Christ is here. Christ has come. Christ is with us. And the purpose that he came was to save us from our sins. So what we're dealing with here is the hereafter. And in Luke chapter 2, he says that a Savior is born. Christ is with us. Christ is in the world to save us from our sins, save us from judgment, save us from death, and to save us from the grave. So go with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And in Jesus' ministry, he stressed the purpose for his coming. And in John chapter 11, at the grave of Lazarus, the Lord says these words unto Martha. And in verse 25, Jesus says this. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Now, what is he saying there? Is he saying that we're never going to physically die? Certainly, if we're not raptured out of here, one day we're going to physically die, but our spirit is immediately going to leave this body. We're going to go into the presence of Jesus Christ. We're going to be filled with vitality and energy and joy and peace and strength. And we're never going to know anxiety, sin, fear, anything again. So I want to be honest with you right now, Judy. I don't fear dying. You know, I don't fear dying. And I've said this before. Somebody will be real sick and folks will say, "Oh man, you know, they're a lot better off now because they were suffering." Let me tell you something. If I'm running a 100-yard dash faster than anybody in the world, and I've got the best health of any human being on the face of this planet, if I die, I want you to understand, I'll be better off then too. Because I will have left behind the body of this death. I don't have to be suffering to be better off, William. I can be healthier than I've ever been, and I'm going to be better off when I'm with Jesus. So he came as our Savior so that we would not fear death, hell, the judgment, or the grave. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Why did Jesus come? Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now that's the purpose. That's the reason. And then notice what he says. Of whom I am the chief sinner. I am the worst sinner that ever lived. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's how Paul felt about himself, because he persecuted the church, because he murdered people just because they believed in Jesus Christ. And so in verse 16, Paul says this, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering and patience as a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. What's Paul saying there? Paul's saying, I'm the pattern. Jody, you ever ran into somebody and they'll tell you, they'll say, well, Brother Leo, you know, you don't understand everything I've done in my life. There's no way God can save me. Or they'll say, you know, Brother Leo, you don't know how I've lived my life. There's no way God's going to save me. Paul's saying, look, I murdered Christians. I hunted them down. I killed them. And he's using me as a pattern. If I can find the grace of God and I can be saved, then anybody can be saved. And I want you to understand, the devil uses that as a lie. And so anytime anybody tells you how bad they are, you can tell them one thing. You can say, look, you're not as bad as the Apostle Paul according to the Word of God. You're not as bad as King David according to the Word of God. You know, he committed adultery and then had Bathsheba's husband Uriah murdered by putting him on the front line. These men found grace. These men found forgiveness when they repented and turned to God. And so there is no one past the hope of salvation. And that is the good news of Christmas and the fear not. So one aspect of the fear not, there is nothing in your past today that can keep you from salvation and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Judy needs to tell the folks she ministers that, and we need to tell the folks that we minister those same truths. So fear not, the Savior has come. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. This is all about the hereafter. The life where we don't have to fear. I'm going to pray right now because I've got some of our school teachers with us. Lord Jesus, I pray you protect our school teachers, our administrators, and our students this day and in the days and weeks ahead. Put a band of angels around them, Lord Jesus. Father, I just pray for their health and their protection. I thank you for the recoveries that are in this room today. And I pray, Lord Jesus, I just pray your protection on every child, every adult that is passing through our school system in the weeks ahead. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, now look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, and look at what the scripture says. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, humans are partakers of flesh and blood. Jesus Christ also himself likewise took upon his being the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus Christ was born to die. And he was not only born to die, he was born to defeat death. He was born to defeat the power of the devil through his resurrection. And because he is raised, I will be raised. And so I don't have any fear of death. If I were to die before this message is over, my spirit will immediately go into the presence of Jesus Christ, into the eternity of peace and joy and love and light. And then I will await my glorified body to be resurrected. And so I know my future. I am certain about it. I was sharing with someone at dinner about, I don't know, probably 10 years ago in this county. I remember who it was. And you know what they said to me? They said, "Brother Leo, I hope you're right." And these people go to church every week. And they're part of a religion that's pretty prevalent here. And they looked me dead in the eye, Tim. They said, "I hope you're right." Well, I want you to understand, and everybody's listening on this website, I'm not hoping I'm right. I know I'm right. And I know I'm right. You say, you believe in the Scriptures? William, I don't just believe in the Scriptures. I know that these Scriptures are as true as this wooden pulpit that my Bible is sitting on. My loved ones and your loved ones have gone into the presence of Jesus Christ. We're going to follow them into the presence of Jesus Christ. So our future, as far as the hereafter, it is settled, it is certain, and we can say in 1 Corinthians 15, 55, on, I'm not going to take us there, "O grave, where's your sting? O death, where's your victory?" The grave, the sting of death is sin, but we have victory through the sacrifice and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Patty, our personal relationship with Him. Now, fear not. Go with me to John 14. John 14. And I feel sorry for folks that don't have this settled. He came to earth that first Christmas so we could have this settled. So in John 14, Jesus says this. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He came to earth to be with us so that He could make a way for us to go to heaven and be with Him. I'm going to say it again. He came to earth to be with us so that He could make a way for us to go to heaven and to be with Him. Go with me to John 17. He says it again. John 17, verse 24. "Father, it is my desire that they..." The disciples, the believers, those that commit their lives and come to me as Lord and Savior. "Father, it is my desire that these folks also, whom you have drawn to me and given me, be with me one day where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the church." Before the foundation of the world. So the church is going to go and be with Jesus. The believers are going to go and be with Jesus. And I know that I'm going to be with Jesus one day as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. So, Dave, the fear not, as it applies to the hereafter, is settled. It's settled. But now I don't want to go. And you say, "Brother Leah, you don't want to go be with Jesus?" I would love to go be with Jesus. But I don't want to leave Patty behind. You know, we have agonized with Christy Hall. We have agonized with Valerie and Patty. Patty has ministered to Jasper. Don't want to have to go on without your daddy here on earth, your husband. Patty has agonized with Sarah Beth. One of the first texts she sent was, "My daddy is my whole world. My daddy is my whole world." It hurts those that are left behind. And so that enters in as the fear. Sarah Beth told one of those doctors on the phone, you know, that they're wanting to stop. They're wanting to stop this and stop that. And she said, as long as my daddy's fighting, we're not going to stop. You know, with her condition, she told that doctor, they said, I wouldn't live past 6 years of age. And here I am, but 36 or whatever she is now. She said, I'm not giving up on my daddy. He did not give up on me. You know, these things are personal. And they're heart-wrenching. And there are friends and loved ones, and they're going through these things. And now we agonize with Miss Pat's family and Coach Bird's family. And so I have no fear of going to be with Jesus, but the reality of this thing is when our loved ones leave, you know, I'm not talking about a 90-year-old or a 95-year-old, you know, that has lived a full life, but when the husband that's sitting beside you is gone, or the spouse is gone, or the father or the mother is gone, these are real gut-wrenching pains. And so we grab hold of Jesus and we grab hold of His Word. So when the angel says, fear not, it's not just for the hereafter, it's also for the here and now. So what do we hold on to? What do we hold on to in the here and now? Well, go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And we see the message again of fear not. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the scripture says this: let your lifestyle, your behavior, the King James English says conversation, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For the Lord has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me, and I will not fear whatever this life shall come against me with. Because the Lord is with me, number one. He will never leave me, number two. And He will never fail me, number three. Now, I've got to hold on to that, William. If it comes to the place where I think I've got to leave my wife behind, I've got to hold on and believe that, and I know that God will not fail Patty. He will not leave Patty, and He will always be with Patty. And it is the strength of the Lord that sustains us and gets us through. So what is the angel's message? Fear not today in this life. Sometimes in life it's going to come down to the fact that all I can do at this moment is hold on to Jesus, because I know that Jesus is holding on to me. And that's based on that verse of Scripture. He is not going to drop you. He is not going to let you go. And you say, how do you minister to these folks in this community that are going through so much pain and so much hurt? And I want you to understand something, my friend. In 36 years in the ministry, I've never said, why me? I've always said, why not me? And I've never lived a life where I thought this couldn't happen to my family, because I've seen it happen to so many families. So Patty and I have already talked about things. You know, Patty, if this thing gets me, this is what I want. I want to stay here in Wayne County. I want to stay with the nurses that I know. I want Dr. Bartlett's treatment out of Texas, you know, every 2 hours here in Wayne County through an IV. And if I make it, I make it. If I don't, I don't. But that's the wisdom that God has given me to this point. And if I don't make it, I don't want us doing a funeral service. We'll wait till this thing's over and we can do a memorial service at some point. You say, Brother Leo, y'all have had it. Yes, we're having these conversations because we are living this 24 hours a day with our loved ones that are going through this. But a lot of folks just stick their head in the ground and say this can't happen to us. It can happen to any of us, but I want you to understand, whoever it happens to, our God is still on the throne. And as it says, Jesus Christ in victory is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And so we grab hold of Him and we hold on to Him and we say, we will fear not. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. This is why we fear not in this life. Romans chapter 8 verse 38 says this, and it goes right back to what we just saw in Hebrews. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Notice again, not the past. The past is done. But things we face in the present day and things that are to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God and from the presence of God, which indwells us in Christ Jesus our Lord at the point of salvation. Why am I to fear not? I will never be alone, and you will never be alone. And we have to trust that Jesus is with us. And then verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us, because we're never going to be separated from Him. And my friend, this gives me peace. Apollos, I praise God. I know that nothing or no one or no situation can get Jesus Christ away from me after the point of my salvation. I'm being indwelt by Him, I'm being held by Him, and if the time comes, I'll be ushered home by Him. And man, you can't. Isn't that beautiful? Look at what he says. Verse 38, I am persuaded that death cannot separate me from God. Isn't that wonderful? That's the first one. Why? Because death's the last great enemy. It's the last great fear. He starts with death, then he goes to life, and then he starts getting specific as he goes down. Angels are higher than humans. Principalities are higher than humans. And then powers can be spiritual evil powers, and they can be human powers. And he keeps going down, down, down. And then he gets to the physical in verse 39. The height, the depth, or any other creature, nothing can separate us from God in this universe and beyond that universe. And I praise God for that today. For Dr. Joe Hall, for Bobby Brown, for Bob, for Liz's dad, for BJ, for these loved ones, Judy's friends, for these folks. They may be gone from us, but they were not separated from God. And so we grab hold of that. And we don't let go. And the angel says, fear not. Fear not the life to come, and fear not things in this life. He shall never leave us. Go with me to John chapter 16. And you know, as I'm teaching this right now, we realize that people are listening to us. You folks have been with me 25 years that are in this building. But there are folks that are listening to us maybe for the first time or haven't been listening that long. And you know, my heart breaks for people that have these two areas in their life. And if they're without Jesus, there is fear of the here and now. And there is fear of the here and after. You know, that's frightful. My heart breaks for people that have to live in fear because they don't have Jesus in their heart. And we really need to minister to folks, and we really need to get out there. John chapter 16, verse 32, the Lord says this, behold, the hour comes, yea, and is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own. And you're going to leave me alone. As he's going to face that trial and denial and betrayal and crucifixion. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. No matter how we look alone physically on the face of this earth, Richard, we are not alone. God is with us like the Father was with Jesus. They would look and they would say, oh my goodness, you know, there he is on trial in the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and there's the angry crowd and the mob, and none of his supporters, none of his disciples were with him. That's what they saw in the physical, but in the spiritual, the Father was with him. And the Holy Spirit's with us. In verse 33, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Not only is Christ with us, his overcoming power is with us. So fear not, be of good cheer, be not filled with fear, for I am with you, and I have overcome the world. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Greater is he who's in us than what we're facing in this world. And you say, Brother Leo, sometimes I just don't believe that. And sometimes I have doubts. And sometimes I get knocked down. Like I told Dave yesterday, I said, Dave, it's like a body blow and a body blow and a body blow. It's just one after another, one after another, one after another. How do you combat that, Brother Leo? I say out loud, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I say out loud, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. I say out loud, God is in control. God is on the throne. God is still ruling. I say out loud, the Lord is going to get us through this thing. And we're going to find victory. You have to start speaking those things out loud and strengthen your faith and grow your faith. Or stop right then and pray out loud. Or get your loved ones and pray. Patty and I are constantly praying together and praying together. And I don't know how things were in Wayne County during World War II. And I don't know how things were in Wayne County, you know, during Korea and during Vietnam and during the Middle Eastern conflicts that we have had. But I'll tell you one thing. Wayne County has done more praying in the last few months together than we have done in the last 25 years that I've been here in Wayne County and many counties all over America. And we're coming together and we're praying and we're grabbing hold of God. And we need to keep doing that. Because I think for the first time in a lot of entitled lives and in this entitled generation, folks are finding that God is the only thing we can truly count on in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And for the first time, you know, these fears and these insecurities have taken a pandemic proportion where I think there is an upswing in folks seeking a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to close out with this scripture, but we'll go back to Luke. And I want to show you the balance that Paul gives us about fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7, the scripture says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I've heard folks say all the time, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, and that's true. But there is a part B to this verse. Now, I know God does not want us to be fearful. I know that. And fear is a tool of the devil. But in these last few days, you know, Patty has said, I'm afraid. And there are many folks, and you know, going back to Miss Pat, And if Joe had been alive, he would have contacted me. And they would have said, "We're concerned for you. You know, we're worried about you." You know, and I want you to understand, it won't be the Crohn's disease that causes my problem. It'll be the treatment for it. In 2011, I was put on Remicade and Humira, which is a form of chemotherapy, which compromised my immune system, which caused me to have double pneumonia and pleurisy, which has left scar tissue in my lungs. And I've felt it since 2011. I feel it like Friday was a horrible day. It doesn't keep me from working out, doesn't keep me from running, doesn't keep me from being physically active. But I know I've got it because of the treatment. Now, I hadn't had any treatment since 2012. I'm not on anything. But my doctors know that that would be a complication for this. And so Patty has said, you know, these last few days, man, I don't want to lose you. You know. And so fear has entered our family to a certain degree. But I know that it is not God's will that we be fearful. And so the scripture says this: "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, I'm going to give it to you backwards, all right? I'm going to start with the sound mind. The sound mind in the Greek is sophronos, S-O-P-H-R-O-N-O-S. S-O-P-H-R-O-N-O-S. And it means this. It means sound mind or sound judgment. It means self-control or sobriety. It means to conduct yourself in a disciplined, moderate way. To conduct yourself in a disciplined, moderate way. And in the Greek, when you're studying Greek, the deities are these guys. They always give you the synonyms and the antonym. The antonym is this: it's not reckless, not haphazard, not throw caution to the wind. So God's not giving me a spirit of fear, Martha Jo, but He doesn't want me to walk through a pit of rattlesnakes to show folks that I'm not fearful. Now, we laugh and we chuckle, but there are religions that tempt God, and they'll quote that verse and say, "God's not giving me a spirit of fear," so they'll grab a rattlesnake based on that verse. But He parameters that verse, or parenthetically that verse, with this word sophronos, which says, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but we are to have sound judgment, common sense, and we are to be cautious when threatening circumstances present themselves. You know, you've got two extremes that we're facing in America today and throughout the world. You've got one group that wants to stay in a basement and stay totally isolated. As Patrick told me at the funeral home, he said, "We couldn't keep Dad that way, even though he had underlying conditions. He had to be out there serving people." Dr. Joe Hall. And you know, I do too. But now, if I am a transplant patient on immune suppressant drugs every day, I'm going to stay isolated. I think that's a decision that should be made. Whether it's a kidney transplant or a heart transplant, as our members have, I would keep myself isolated and keep myself protected. If I'm a young person that has no underlying health condition, you know, I'm going to be able to be more active, but I certainly don't want to bring something home to an elderly grandparent. So there needs to be caution there. But the bottom line is there can be spirit-led, common sense decisions made in the life of every Christian, and it's not one answer fits all. And just as the Holy Spirit is in everybody's heart. So Brother Leo, as the pastor of the Wayne County Bible Center, I try to make decisions based on what's going on at the moment it's going on as best I can. Am I making perfect decisions? No, I'm not. You know, I didn't go to seminary, but they didn't teach this in seminary. This pandemic response stuff. You know, we're just doing the best we can as we fly through this thing. And you don't know what the facts are, the data is, and you don't know 10 years from now when they look back on it. We'll know a whole lot more than what we know now, but we're all doing the best we can. So as you proceed in life, you know, and that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I'm trying to do with Patty. We've got a minister. You know, I can't have these people I love face the loss of loved ones and me not be there for. But I trust God to protect us and keep us healthy, you know, and I try to do things, you know, to take care of us. And to err on the side of caution. Secondly, he says to have a spirit of love. Fear not. He's not given a spirit of fear, but a sound judgment and a spirit of love. Filial love, the love that I need to have for my fellow man. So as I go through life, I want to esteem your needs more important than mine. I want to love you the way Christ has loved and sacrificed himself for us. And so as I proceed, I'm going to proceed showing respect to Jennifer and Melissa and to Martha Jo and to William and to Judy and to those that are elderly and those that do have compromised immune systems. I want to move forward with this spirit of love and respect for others. You know, it's like Paul said, it was lawful for him to eat anything he wanted to eat. He doesn't settle that with God, but he wasn't going to eat pork in front of a Jewish Christian who still saw that as a legality he needed to live under. And so we respect, you know, the feelings and the opinions of others. But we proceed without a spirit of fear, and then we proceed knowing that God... And here the antonym of the verse is this. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but God hath given us the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. So if I've got the spirit of God's power in my life, certainly I'm going to trust in that also. I'm going to say, Lord, protect us. Guide us. Give us help. And we're praying for God's power to heal those that are battling disease. And so all the bases are covered in Luke chapter 2. And I want to go back and close there with that first message, that first night. That what we face and fear in this life and in the life to come has been taken care of by our Lord. But we are to proceed under the inspiration of Holy Spirit guidance and wisdom and discernment. And in verse 8 it says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And my friend, we live in an age now where I know we've got loved ones right now that are afraid. My heart goes out to Sherry right now. You know, my heart goes out to Mr. John right now. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, which is for all people, Jew and Gentile. For unto you personally, as an individual, is mourn this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So you have nothing to fear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we call on you right now, Father, we are living in a time of fear. We are living in a time where disease and death has come to this world in a new way. And it has come to our community in a new way. But Father, we know that whether things that have been here or new things that have come, nothing can separate us from your provision and your protection, your love, and your power. Father, I want to thank you that you have made provision to take care of us in our eternal future. And you have made provision to take care of us in our temporal present life. This life is temporary and it's being lived physically in the presence. But every need and every challenge has been met and overcome by you. And so, Father, we call upon you today for that power to be prevalent in the life of everyone in this room and everyone listening on this website. We are calling upon you, Lord Jesus, to give us the wisdom, the judgment, and the discernment to proceed through the challenges we face with a sound mind, under the influence of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord Jesus, to be filled with your love, your love for others. May we pray as if it were our parent in the ICU. May we pray as if it were our spouse in the ICU. And Lord Jesus, may we offer ourselves to be there for loved ones whose loved one is with you now. Lord Jesus, strengthen us. And I pray right now, Father, for my own self to be renewed, to feel strong, to feel emotionally and spiritually strong in the days and weeks ahead, so that Patty and I can minister to those that you have called us to minister to. And I pray that prayer for all of us. Lord Jesus, we bring Coach Bird and Miss Pat and their families before you right now. We pray healing, great physician. And we bring Brother Bob Terman's family before you right now. We pray comfort and peace, great consoler. All our needs are met in you. We pray, Father, for Dr. Joe Hall's family to continue to be comforted. We pray for Bobby Brown's loved ones to continue to be comforted. We pray for Liz's family. We pray for Greg Eaton's family. We pray, we pray, we pray. It is in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.